Hello, folks. Welcome again to Saga Media. I'm your host, Jeremy Bruce, with my co-host, Al Marski, and we are going to do a sports segment, something new and different. Yes, we're changing the things today.
Yeah.
So obviously, we're going to mostly talk local sports, but specifically the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
They made some big moves, kind of unorthodox to what they normally do. They're usually always been known for the conservative, but this newer GM, Omar Khan, he's really pulling some moves.
So. Yeah, the Steelers have a way of finding the right GMs that are very talented in picking prospects.
In the way they do business at that time period in the league, too. Like Kevin Colbert worked for, I think towards the end, maybe it was still, it was dated. But
But for his time, Kevin was pretty damn good. He did very intelligent, very talented
Super Bowls
things
with him.
Yeah.
And we had long looked for to get back on track from that.
Yeah.
And but the one big topic we went, so the quarterback room's different.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, is it different, man. It's like, you know what was funny about that quarterback room that had me concerned was that typically when, remember when the receivers, the Hines Wards of the day, were all getting together and when Hines Ward was getting later in his years, there were new guys coming in, and he was there to be the leader to show them something. So you kind of hope that's a good situation in the quarterback area where you have a backup, and then they're working with the starter, and then they take over. But we've, like, cut the head off the snake, and we have, you know, Ben was Ben until he left, and then we had really nothing. We had Mason, but we didn't really push him to see what he could do. I never saw anything that made me real confident in him. He's I don't know if he'll ever have a breakout year. We'll see what he does in Tennessee, I think he went to.
Yeah.
We'll see what he does there. But I just would like to have seen a leadership. And I thought Wilson was coming to be the guy with some experience to work with Kenny. I thought that's a good move, but I don't know what happened with Kenny. I heard things that he didn't like it, liked it, whatever. That fell through. I'm not much into the rumor mill, but I'm sure he has a point of view and there's a public point of view. But that's what I thought was going to happen. Then they got Fields, and then he was gone. I'm like, that is very un-Steeler-like to take a homeboy and then let him go like that.
Especially second year. So the Ben thing, I don't know, the whole situation under Ben, when he had that. So he essentially had Tommy John surgery towards the end. That's why he was out for the 2019 season. Came back in that 2020. I mean, they started, it was a weird season because it was during the pandemic, and it was they were 11-0.
Yeah.
But had to play all those games. And then after that, he was never the same. And they had to have those three games in 15 days, and they lost in 2021. Barely got him, but he was a shell of himself. And they really, it was just bad timing because they were entering, he finally retired, probably a year or two too late.
Yeah.
And they entered into a draft where it was a very weak quarterback class. And Kenny Pickett, he didn't overachieve. He achieved after being, I mean, he got an extra year. He was almost in there, I believe, almost his fifth or sixth year. So he had, because of COVID, an extra year. And he had a heck of a year his last year at Pitt. But, I mean, I think I've played and seen enough football in my life that I'm like, this guy's not a starting quarterback. Even then, he's just too small and doesn't have the arm strength. But I wanted to, as a Pitt fan, I'm like, this is a cool story.
Right.
Came in, but
I was hoping it wasn't just going to be a thing to make the fans happy. Oh, Pitt. He goes from Pitt next door, goes, becomes a Steeler. What a great story. And this isn't about a story. This is a business that's got
to
make money.
Win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And especially with the defense. And you're right. When he came in, I had a really good feeling that they were going to get rid of him. It was shocking.
Really?
I was shocked that it still happened, but boy, did they pull off some moves, and they're not. It just wasn't worth. I mean, here's the thing: is how many games do you had? What, 25 games? And I was just like, it's the same thing. 145 yards.
Yeah.
Like that's not going to cut it in today's NFL. I mean, this is a.
It seemed like he was on the verge, but then you can't tell if is it because of his line. Is because of the receivers dropping balls. I mean, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of drop balls.
Oh, yeah. Offensive coordinator got a lot of blame.
There's a lot of things, right. And he took the blame. And then next week they did really good, which was an anomaly because the following week, just mediocre. I think Kenny was out at that point. He had an injury. But then everything started falling. The wheels fell off after that.
You can really see the difference with you brought up Mason. And, you know, Mason at the beginning, he was thrown into the fire really young. I don't know if he was ready and whatnot. But – you could tell there was.
He wasn't a prodigy, but he had some.
He could throw the ball down the field.
He just didn't get enough real time to play and practice time.
Yeah.
So
he got thrown in early, and then when he did get his chance as a veteran, now I mean, it was night and day.
Yeah,
the way he could throw the ball down the field, past them. but it wasn't enough for them to bring him back, obviously. But I was, I don't know. I mean, whatever the rumor is the fact that now, if you don't want to be here under Russell Wilson, you still had a chance to compete.
Yeah.
Now you got traded somewhere where you're, unless there's a serious injury, you are not going to be the starter.
The Eagles were doing pretty good.
And Jalen Hurts is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL now, and they took him to the Super Bowl.
Kenny went home. You know, he's from New Jersey. I get that, and I don't know why people think this is his home. It's not his home. Now his parents don't have to drive very far to go watch one of his games. What I thought was interesting is I was listening to the radio before this whole trade thing happened. I listened to DVE, and Randy was saying something like, Kenny Pickett's making a huge mistake. He's not on social media saying anything about Russell Wilson. He's not saying anything about that. He's been totally quiet. But you'll see him, Kenny put something on Facebook like he was fishing. He's totally ignoring it. And like, if he wants to come back, he's got to be out there on social media. I'm thinking, why? He's a quarterback. His job is to be a quarterback, not be on social media answering these questions and playing PR. He's not a PR guy. He's a quarterback guy. I think the point he was making and that I wasn't seeing was that I'm thinking, let him be a quarterback. The Steelers are going to keep him if he's good. They're not going to keep him because he was on Twitter saying the right stuff about Russell Wilson. It doesn't matter. He can either throw a pass, Nick can catch it, someone can catch it, or not. So his performance is going to play out. Who cares if he's on social media? But I think what was apparent was that a quarterback needs to be a leader. And a leader is more vocal than Kenny was being on this. So a leader should come on these platforms and at least welcome them. You know, you're the leader of the team, you're the face of the team. It's your obligation to at least welcome someone or lead the team, be a voice of some. You have to be heard. I'm not saying you have to be a PR agent, but you, as a leader, you have to be heard. And people are looking, what's the leader doing? What's the leader thinking? But if you're vacant, you're not saying anything, where do these people go? The people who are supposed to follow you, where do they go? What do they think? Because you're being silent during all of this. And I get the media. He got mad at him because someone said he refused to play, wasn't going to play second fiddle. And so he's mad at the media. At the same time, he's got to be a leader. Either he's being one behind the scenes or he's not, and he doesn't want to be one in public, but he wasn't displaying leadership skills when all this was going on. He was silent, which was a big thing. But I see it that way now, when before I was defending him saying he doesn't need to be on social media. But at the same time, a leader should be leading, and he was silent.
It definitely wasn't a good look. I mean, if you look at the difference, you know, Russell Wilson, when they made the move then to go get Justin Fields, which I think, you know, both of those moves might not work. I mean, Russell Wilson could be past his prime and done, and I wouldn't be surprised. And this Justin Fields could be a very athletic, you know, guy that's just, you know, first round.
His numbers were like
they're not bad.
I mean,
Lamar
was like this. They're very similar numbers as Lamar.
He'll have a long career just because of his athletic ability until he gets to about 30, when that athletic ability in that league kind of starts, you know, that's just natural. But if really you're taking a chance on such an upside here, because you didn't pay much for them. I mean, the fact that you're what are they, $4 million into both of these guys, and you gave up a sixth round, a conditional pick for a guy who was a first round draft pick, and then you got two more picks for your first round guy. Yeah. But the difference you brought about leadership in Russell Wilson when they did make the move for Justin Fields. I mean, he had that picture of him on his social media right away and was like, this quarterback room is fire. And he talks about, and I said, and that's right away when I saw that, I was like, let's just even say he might not even be sincere about it, but he did it right away. You can just feel it was sincere.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's what a leader does.
It does. So, you don't just sit in the back. And I never, throughout the whole time Kenny was here, I didn't see him show leadership skills publicly, but that doesn't mean he's not showing them. But what I think the Steelers did was, they unplugged their current quarterback situation to get the situation which I said they needed, which was a veteran with someone moving up to someone to teach. So they have someone with proven success who's a talented quarterback who can nurture Fields. That's the situation they need. They didn't have that. It was awkward. They had a starter was gone. They had a guy with no guidance, no mentor to look up to because he was off the team. Ben was off the team. No one could mentor him. So there was no on-the-field leadership watching him during game time. That situation was gone. But now that situation was replaced. We've got a new leader, and we've got someone in the wings who can learn. So I think that is important, to have someone like you had a Hines Ward teaching the young guys. You got a veteran teaching the young guys. That situation was taken out, plugged in appropriately. I think it was a good move because in order for a team to move, leaders have to stick around a little bit, you know, to teach the young guys what's going on.
And also, I think they're showing signs of urgency. And I said it too the last couple of years. I said you're taking a step backwards. And the reason being is on the defensive side of the ball, they've got three future Hall of Famers in Minkah Fitzpatrick, yeah. Cam Hayward, and T.J. Watts, arguably. For whatever reason, the mainstream media doesn't want to give this, but I believe that like he should be a three-time defensive player.
Yeah.
He's been ripped off twice, and I do believe if his numbers show that he's arguably going to go down as one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the game. I mean, Aaron Donald, a local guy who just retired from the Rams, he is a three-time, and he is, I think, the greatest interior defensive lineman or greatest defensive lineman in history. And T.J. Watt's numbers are just as good, if not better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so where the urgency comes in is it's not just about Steelers making the playoffs or having a better year and getting, like, they did this, and I don't know what they're going to do on the wide receiver side of the ball. They got a lot of holes to fill, but yeah. They have to – it's time to win a Super Bowl again or at least get back to it. This is your chance because Cam Hayward's – this is probably going to be his last year.
Yeah.
Minkah's starting to slow down, and T.J.'s almost 30 now. Like, this is your chance. You got a really good – the running backs finally look good, and so I just believe that they recognized they weren't going anywhere with any one of those three. I mean, I saw the play of Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. I mean, you can see when a guy can't throw the ball across or down the field.
Trubisky was
spoiled. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger used to throw the ball like 60 yards with ease.
Yeah, it's just nail it. He could pound a nail in 60 yards.
It was 70. I saw you go back and look at the highlights with him and Mike Wallace. Remember that speedster?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were 80-yard bombs.
Even at Holmes in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was like – that had to be the only place that ball – could be caught.
And I don't know that any one of those three quarterbacks that were in our room last year could have made that throw. And so it was just like, and I don't know. I think it's the best move. And I wish the guys that all left the best, especially Mason too. I believe that like he really got a bad rap at the beginning, and then at the end it was good to get a little, you know, vindication here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pick a side to say, you know, again, you know, being that independent, not to sound like washed, but I like to see what I want to let their actions speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
I want to see what Kenny does. I'm not going to hate him or love him. I just want to see what he does. I'm looking for a great story here. Either it's going to be bad or be good. But, you know, what was his name? The running back, Bell, who left. It, I mean, that was bad. He could have been something. And that played out bad.
He was on way a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, he was. He was, like, unstoppable, but I think he got through his head. He wasn't as good as he thought he was. He was good, but no one else agreed because no one took him, and he was difficult. So a lot of football is mental. It's about your mind, and you can't – it's really hard, like the Pirates, when you get a player, you're buying not just a skill, you're buying a head frame, a state of mind, and you have to nurture that state of mind. So players are good. They could be so talented physically, but mentally they don't have it together. Once they get success, they start making money. Have they arrived? Are they going to start to dip now and celebrate too much? Or are you still in work mode? Like TJ Watt, is out there like it's every day is his first day on the job. He's proven himself every single day. He has not – you don't see him saying, I've arrived. I'm the best. He is every day crazy. He's not full of himself. He's working hard.
So off of like, you know, you brought up other athletes that do that, like Sidney Crosby, hometown, you know, hockey player for the Penguins, one of the greatest of all time. It was Ryan Whitney or somebody from the Spit and Chicklets podcast. One of them said that somebody like that had said recently when they were around him, it was like he was still training for – there was a league above the NHL.
He played like he was in second place all the time.
Yeah, and he wanted to and Sidney will tell you himself that he was – he always used to say, I never wanted to be one of those, like, first overall busts. That's another reason why. And then you get in, like, the Kobe Bryant aspect – I mean, that guy, they said Michael Jordan worked hard, but I don't know. I think he never worked as hard as Kobe did.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was on another level. I don't know if there was ever an NBA player, maybe an athlete, that worked as hard as Kobe Bryant.
He was insane.
And if you listen to the 2008, the story of the 2008 Olympics, and the backdrop is Coach K took over. Remember, they had lost in Athens, and it was an embarrassment that they didn't get gold medal, and they got fourth place. Or whatever, fourth or fifth in Athens in 2004. So they're like, the dream team's over with, and the rest of the world's caught up to us. Well, they got Coach K, brought Kobe. The first beginning of the training, I don't know if they were over there yet or just training right before the Olympics somewhere here. It might have been like Las Vegas or something. LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and all these other basketball players went out. They were going out, and they were coming into the hotel at 4 in the morning and they see Kobe going down and like, where are you going? And he's all in his, it's 4 in the morning. He goes, I'm going to work out. And he, and that spread. So the next day they all, one, they started doing it at 4, at 5, and then the whole team did. And you can just see the difference.
Leadership right there. Yeah, absolutely. Leadership, man. They're looking at you to see what you do. And when you're silent, you're in trouble. But you can take everyone down or you can take everyone up.
And they talk about Peyton Manning was another one. His preparation, same with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was more workout too, but preparation wise, the stories of how Peyton would just film. I mean, his hard work was in that film room as much as it was in the gym or on the field. Yeah. And you just, that's the difference between the guys that you say get the little bit of the money, because you clearly see that.
Yeah.
You see some talented people that are more talented than great ones,
right.
God gift talent, and they don't put it all together.
Apart.
Because they're like, I made it. Like, right. I have $15 million in the bank.
Right, now. Yeah. So I saw one shot. I was watching a football game, and it was Tom Brady was playing. I don't know who he was playing, but he was on his way to make a comeback. And they scored a touchdown near the end. It was still like 2 minutes on the clock. And the entire team was celebrating. All I saw was Tom Brady going, it's not over. He's grabbing that receiver who caught the touchdown and said, it's not over. It's not over. We're not celebrating yet. He went around that room and got everybody back to level because with 2 minutes on the clock, anything can happen. He went back and told that defense, everybody, it is not over yet. Stop celebrating. That is a leader. When you think you're winning, oh, we got the touchdown, it's the odds of them coming back are slim, but it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah.
And when I saw him doing it, I'm like, that's total respect for that dude to go around and calm everybody down. Not celebrate with them, but say, listen, dude, get your head back where it belongs. It ain't over yet. And I thought, wow, that's why he's winning. He works with his receivers. He's there talking. He's in their heads. It's not over. He doesn't act like he's arrived. It's not over. Well, and when I heard that out loud, that's amazing.
And it's the demand for excellence constantly.
Right.
Never being satisfied, always. And that's the difference between the greats and the and the good ones. And look, in regard to back to, before we finish, back to our main discussion here is, you know, we'll see out of all these moves who you'll be able to tell which ones get and where this goes. I mean, I personally think this is the right move because back to it, you brought a leader and who's a proven winner. And I mean, he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, that is. I mean, his resume is there, but does he have anything left in the tank here? We'll see.
Yeah, right? I think that sometimes, you know, he'll hear that. He hears that. I mean, he hears people saying that. When you get to that point, everyone's talking about you saying you're old, you're out of it. Maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder. Maybe he'll prove something. Maybe we also have to have a good line for him, a front line, a good old line.
Started getting better.
And good receivers. You know, maybe he works with those receivers like Tom Brady did, where they're working overtime. They stay after practice. You know, they start getting on the same page. They stop dropping balls because one drop ball changes the whole game. I mean, two drop balls, everything's off.
Absolutely.
You know? So going in like that, I mean, I just like to watch it. I get emotional when I watch the other games, but I'm trying to absolutely. I just want to watch the story. I just want to try and I want to watch the story and see how it unfolds. As much as I want them to win, and I hate it when they lose, I got to sit back. Let's just watch the story, let it unfold.
All it is a story. I'm excited, though.
Yeah, so
we'll, we'll see. But I know this is good. Good
I love talking. Football season.
We'll come back and talk more as we get closer to the
Sounds
season.
Good. All right. Looking forward to it.
Yep.